Welcome to Friday Shiur. As Idan lovely, gracefully pointed out, some of the formatting on the if you have the PDF is a little funky. So if you see misplaced words or letters in random places, like the word lachayoto, which is I think Idan just showed me is like floating in the middle, just pretend that it's more formatted nicely. I don't know why I did that because on my version it's looking fine. But what we're gonna do right now is we're gonna be winding down this first perek, and then God willing, next week we'll be starting off with the next one with Rabbi Turchiner. But on this last sugya to do for today on Daf Ted Vav, Amud Bet specifically today, I wanted to explore this the position of Rav in this Gemara in source number one. He has two lines that I thought we could sort of break up into. Discuss both. He has this idea that the Gemara is referring to what it is referring to and what it's not referring to, which we'll see. It is referring to Lahachiyoto. It's not referring to Yuchsin, and we'll understand exactly. So you spend half and half, maybe more on the latter half than on the former first half, exploring the position of Rav. The latter half has some potentially halachalama, although it's thank God it's been a generation since it's been halacha lemaisa, but it'll be halacha lemaisa related to post-Holocaust, identifying children who were hidden away in Poland. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're going to start here with source number one, the Gemara in Ketubot, Tedvav Amud Bet. This Gemara is I'm going to have twice essentially, but we'll start with this one here in source number one. Gufa matza batinok mushlach. So you find a child somewhere out there. I was debating whether or not I should give the example of this child was found in Bahrain, just to get our views up.
Yeah, Rob sure thinks it was a bot.
Okay.
Really?
Well, maybe the bot will find this one too. Okay. But that's... Okay. Anyway.
He did fix it, right? Very good.
Matza batinok mushlach. Imrov goyim goy, or... This is, I think, according to Allah Torah, the original text. It's been censored into other versions of that. But Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, Mechta Mechta Yisrael. So I don't want to spend really any significant time on this, but although there is what to spend time on, but since we spoke about Rav Rabinovich as a mathematician last week, we can look at him as more of a philosopher maybe for this week. Just briefly, I just footnoted number one, just an article from Tradition, that Rav Rabinovich wrote, discussing a halachic view of the non-Jew, and this whole Gemara is assuming there's a qualitative difference in how we treat an assumed Jew versus an assumed non-Jew, and he doesn't even the article itself is not even major chidushim. He's just taking different authorities, basically driving the point home that when we talk about in the Gemara Jews and non-Jews, or non-Jews in particular, we're talking about non-Jews in the Gemara. The times and places and ways of modes of living have shifted dramatically in the last 2,000 years. And that's the basic upshot of what he comes to do in that article. And there's what to discuss more, but you should not be distracted by the distinction the Gemara is making between Jews and non-Jews. And you should be distracted by it. It's something to think about and want to address, but we're not going to discuss that at all. But it is discussed, and if you have that question, it is much discussed, and there's what to talk about. Not now, but there's footnote number one if you wanted just a place to start to have this conversation about how the Gemara discusses, when it comes to halacha, the treatment of a presumed Jew versus non-Jew, why there would be any difference for any of these things. But that's just an acknowledgement right there. So the Gemara said, it's quoting this, Mishnah, Breita maybe, you find a child, Imrov Goyim Goy, Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, Mechza Mechza Yisrael. So you find a child somewhere, like in the street or outside of the city, and you don't know what the religious identity of this child is. So you go by Rov. If Rov is Jewish, then we assume this child is Jewish. If Rov is non-Jew, then non-Jewish. And Mechza Mechza Yisrael. And if it's half, it's 50-50, so then we're going to assume Yisrael also if it's 50-50. Rav continues. Now Rav clarifies or talks about this statement. Amar Rav, lo shinu ela l'hachayoto. We only say this when it comes to l'hachayoto. So Rashi here, which is, we're going to see later on, is subject to some discussion. But Rashi here says, what does this lachi yoto mean? Beitim mitzuvin lafarnaso mishum v'chei chimach val yuchsin lo. So we have an obligation, or the Beit Din has an obligation, lachi yoto, which in this case would mean to support him or her financially, because of this v'chei chimach, that this mitzvah of supporting financially applies to achicha, and so if this, we're going to give this one to be status of achicha, and so they, we will have to treat them as a Jew insofar as supporting them financially. Aval yuchsin lo, but he says it's not, it does not go so far as to grant yuchsin, which that's what we'll talk about in the latter half, what that means. But right now we're going to talk about lachiyoto. That was Rav's position. Shmuel amar levekech alav etzagal. Shmuel said, what this is actually referring to is, removing, on Shabbat, you have a toppled building, so removing the stones to uncover this person to save their life. Gemara continues, Umi Amar Shmuel, Ha'achiv Ha'amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Eino Chim B'Kuch Nefesh Ha'arov. We have the statement that Shmuel says that we don't follow Rov for B'Kuch Nefesh, we always, even if there's a mute of a mute, we pursue that mute to save a life. So why would you say anything? Why would you follow Rove at all if it has to do with the Fakech Alav Etzagal has life, is about saving someone's life? Why would you say anything about that? We never follow Rove. We always go right in to save, even if it's a mute. Alaki Itamar Deshmuel Areshi Itamar Im Rove Goyim Goy Amar Shmuel of Fakech Alav Etzagal Enoken. So he says that the Gemara says that Shmuel's line about Fakech Alav Etzagal is about the first line, Im Rove Goyim Goy. But when it comes to Vakech Lev Etzagal, Eino Ken. That's Shmuel's
what's
position.
What's the difference again between, and what's the difference between the Seifa and the Avamina for the Hodders and the Rav, Shmuel? Yeah, what's the difference between in Rav Goyim Goy? That's the same
with
as
the Rishon, you don't save him.
Yeah, you wouldn't save him, because he's not Jewish. We assume he's not Jewish.
So what's the answer? How do we understand that one? How do you understand now Shmuel based on different than the Havamina?
So we're saying exactly. We in that case, even though there's a rove that would say he's not Jewish, we're going to save him anyway, because there's a miut that he's Jewish, which is not what we thought initially. So there's a big discussion. This is unfortunately did not have the time to. So you go, there's a big discussion as to what degree Rav agrees with Shmuel and what degree Shmuel agrees with Rav. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. I recommend looking at the Rashba and the Ramban specifically. I think address that. We're only going to look at a little bit of the Rashba and the Ramban, but that's a heavily discussed topic among the Rishonim. But mm-hmm. I did not have the headspace or the time to be able to go into it. But it's a fair question.
Just maybe totally off topic, so you don't have to answer, but usually when we say, like the same Mishnah of the Mishnah here, Enulchim b'Pikuach Nefesh Ha'arov, I mean, it refers to probably Enulchim b'Mamon Ha'arov, same idea, but in Enulchim b'Mamon Ha'arov, it's not that you go by mute, it's just that mute and rov, they don't matter.
No, so the context, so the meaning here, the way this line is understood to mean, Enulchim b'Pikuach Nefesh Ha'arov, to mean, you even save, you would. We don't say, oh, just because we saw this actually even. What? Right. We saw this already, elements of this already last week also with the Zurek Evan Lego, that we're saying, we don't, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we don't say, oh, it's a rove, we're going to follow the rove. Even if it's a mute, we're concerned about Pikuach Nefesh. It's a different meaning of than the Mamon Achara rove. Yeah. Yeah, it means something different, correct. Okay, so the question is, to start, which is the source number two, when Rav makes his comment, what is he referring to? When Rav says, Lo shenu el hachiyoto, is he referring to Rov im Rov Yisrael Yisrael, or is he referring to Mechta Mechta Yisrael, and we're saying, that's only as far as lachiyoto, but not liyuchsin. So Rashi, in source number two, says, Lo shanu de'im rov Yisrael Yisrael. Rashi says, we're talking specifically, this line, Lo shanu, Rav is talking specifically about a case of rov Yisrael. When we say rov Yisrael Yisrael, that means lachiyoto, but it doesn't mean for yuchsin. But that means he's not talking about a mechza mechza situation. So Tosfot also says, it has the same line of reasoning, same reading here. and a Gemara that we don't, I'm not, I didn't include, but you don't need the Gemara to understand the point that Tosfot's making, which I underlined there. But Tosfot in source number 3, there was a Gemara that was trying to figure out what the nafkamina was of that. And the Gemara, Tosfot it said, this is the important point here. Tosfot is stressing that we own the Rav's, the whole point of Rav when he says lachiyoto is only when it comes to Rov Yisrael Yisrael lachiyoto. But he's making no statement whatsoever about if it's mechza mechza. There's setting aside the way. Well, we'll read the question of the Rashba and the Ramban, and then we'll go back to finish the Rashba. But it's sort of hard to understand if you read source number 1, which we did, but suspend number 1 for a second to read the Rashba, and then you'll figure out exactly, you'll see why in a moment. So the Rashba says, Amar Rav, lo shenu el hachiyoto, perish Rashi zal, lo shenu deberov, Yisrael el hachiyoto. Okay. V'chav a Ramban. I like the way the Rashba told the Ramban's question more than the way the Ramban asked the Ramban's question, so that's why I gave you the Rashba too. So v'chav a Ramban, midivrei Rashi zal, mashma, demechza mechza, lerov, Ein beitin mitzuvin l'achiyoto, right? Because that's the whole point. That Rav's, according to Rashi, Rav's whole statement was talking specifically about Imrov Yisrael, not Mechza Mechza. And the Ramban, and this is the way the Rashba characterizes, v'heichi afshar de Mechza Mechza ein mefakrin. He says, but how could that be possible that according to Rav, we're not going to be concerned about l'achiyoto, mefakrin, we're not going to be concerned about saving his life? We're always going to be lenient when it comes to a potential of life-threatening situation. So the Ramban said, I don't understand. According to Rashi, we only would try to save this person, to keep him alive, in a case of Rov Yisrael. But if it's Mechzal Mechzal, we wouldn't try Lahachiyoto. That's what Rashi says. We only lahachiyoto if it's Rov Yisrael, not if it's mechza mechza. And the Ramban says, and the Rashba is saying, the Ramban says, and we'll see the Ramban in source number 5, he says, doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you have to save a person's life? Why wouldn't you have to lahachiyoto if it's mechza mechza? We know you don't follow, we don't follow the Rov in a case of pikuach nefesh. So why would you say, if it's Rov Yisrael, okay, we'll sustain him, we'll keep him alive. But if it's mechza mechza, we're not going to keep him alive. What do you mean we're not going to keep him alive? The Gemara itself had asked in source number 1. You have to keep him alive even if it's a miyut. So how could Rashi say that? So if you skip to source number 5, when the Ramban actually asks this question, he says, V'hada de marina lo shanu el hachiyoto perish Rashi, lo shanu de im rov Yisrael el hachiyoto, v'demahani di hachi mashma val mechza mechza, ein beitim mitzvei lachiyoto. He says, that doesn't make any sense. So he says, what does lachiyoto have to mean? He says, yesh lefaresh, Lachiyoto la bikuach nefesh. He says, must mean that lachiyoto doesn't mean bikuach nefesh. Lachiyoto means el lefarneso kechad mi'ani Yisrael. What we're talking about when Rav says lachiyoto, it doesn't mean to sustain him, like keep him on life support, keep him alive. It means lachiyoto to give him parnasa. Mishum hachi amar Rav lo shani rove Yisrael el lachiyoto velo ayri ihu bikuach nefesh. He says Rav is clearly not talking about bikuach nefesh, because if it was bikuach nefesh, then he certainly would want to say you have to. You have to save his life, even if it's mechza mechza, because ein hochin bepikuach nefesh achar rov, you'd have to save. What the Rashba points out, if you go, jump back to source number 4, what many point out is that it seems that the Ramban did not have the girsa of Rashi that we have. Because Rashi said in source number 1, he said explicitly, l'hachiyoto means, beit mitzvin l'farneso. So the Rashba just points out in the second paragraph of source number 4, Pirish Rashi Zal, Shabiyadenu, Katuv Gamken Lachyotoshi, you beti mitzvin lefarneso, mitichtiv chechi chimach. He says, so the Ramban's sensitivity to difficulty with Rashi is so good that that's not even what Rashi actually said. That's what I think the Rashba's point is, but it seems that the Ramban had a version of Rashi that did not allow for that read, which is what made him so distressed, which is why he said, you have to say that it means l'hachiyoto. And the Rashba was like, yeah, shkoch, that is what Rashi said. At least that's the Rashi that we have, that he had, and that we have also in source number 1. So that's one way of understanding this. L'hachiyoto is like that. The Ran, though, in source number 6, apparently maybe he had, I don't know, there might, I guess, be 3 different versions of Rashi that are floating around, because the Ran has clearly a different version of it. Gufa matzah batinok mushlach, source number 6 on top of page 2. Matzah batinok mushlach achule. Amar Rav lo shanu el achiyato. Kolamar lo shanu de im rov yesh el achiyato. Perish Rashi zal. Dehech to have a mutal berav, aval yachso lo. That probably be should be a lamed aleph, not a lamed vav. Yachso lo. Nira demi devarav demechza mechza ain beti mitzvah lachiyato afilu mutal berav. Right, the way the Ron understands Rashi is that Rashi was saying lahachliyoto is to save him, to sustain him, even in a place of a famine, which I would think would be now drawing closer to situations of pikuach nefesh. And in those situations, the Ron says that Rashi's position was you only have to save him, even if he's mital berav, only if it's rov yisrael. But if it's mechza mechza, ain beit yivim mitzvin lahachliyoto, which would seem to be more in line, I think, with how the Ramban thought Rashi was saying. And then, ultimately, the Ron, like the Ramban, takes issue with this understanding of Rashi, and he says, "V'halo efshar shari mechza mechza anan mefachinan k'de kaimelan de'ein hochin v'pikoch nefesh ha'arav shere kol savik nefashot lahakik d'mina b'yoma gabei lohachu pikoch nefesh ha'arav da-da-da-da-da v'aperish anachod d'mash k'tav ha'ramban d'achito lav pikoch nefeshu el hatilo b'kupa shal tzedaka k'echad me'ani Yisrael." Right? So he says, everyone basically is saying it's got to be the same thing. Must mean that when we say lahachiyoto, it must mean leparnaso, and it would not make any sense if lahachiyoto means to actually sustain them in a pikuach nefesh situation, because otherwise you're gonna run into conceptual problems with that we don't follow rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. So if it's a pikuach nefesh question, rov or mechza mechza shouldn't be a factor at all. And that Shulchan Aruch rule also rules that mitzvah lahachiyoto perish leparnaso. Because that's the old way that makes sense. And so I guess we could say there is a little bit of a question what lahachiyoto means according to Rashi. The Rashba thinks obviously it means what he said, which is the parnaso. The Ramban thinks it means he might have meant lahachiyoto. And the Ran also thinks that Rashi meant really lahachiyoto means to keep him alive. But everyone agrees that if that's what Rashi said, that doesn't make any sense and we don't follow that, and which why the Shulchan Aruch will say that the lahachiyoto would mean the parnaso. We end up on source number 7 back to where we were on source number 1, which is what Rashi has in our Gemara, which is Mitzvin Leparnaso, but I thought it was just interesting. Hi. Okay, we'll continue. But that was a little bit of the Lahachiyoto. Any thoughts or questions on that before moving on as we're doing a recovery work over there? What's that? Pikuach nefesh, yeah. I'm saying if there was someone under it. Who is it who... okay, so yeah, any thoughts or questions on Lahachiyoto before going on Yuchsin? Which I personally thought the Yuchsin one was a more interesting thing to discuss. So we can go to Yuchsin. Okay, so now is the source number 8, which is actually comes chronologically before source number 1. Because source number 1 started with the Gufa, I was referring to source number 8. But here's this Gemara. Itamar Rav Chia bar Rav Ashi mar Rav halachik Rabbi Yosi, which in our Mishnah of the case of the Tinoket who was drawing water and was taken advantage of, and that would mean that we only require one rov if we're going like Rabbi Yosi in order to determine that she's still permissible to the kahuna. Rav Chana bar Rava Amar Rav Horat Shah Haita. So Rashi there points out what Horat Shah would mean. Hach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Tzorech Shah Haita Oru Sham Shar Tzidei Heker Dvarim Lahatir Aval Dorot Trei Rubi Beinan. So according to this version, it was a Horat Shah that normally the Dorot we required 2, but in that case we only required 1. Meitiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks. Kasal Kadata, this is again Rashi in the parentheses. Kasal Kadata, Mishum Rova Ir Gereta Achshrua Va Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Yosi. Liuchsin Lo Be'in and Trey Ruby. What do you mean? Don't we say that you require 2 roves when it comes to Yuchsin? Vatznan, Matzah Batinok Mushlachim Rov Goyim Goyim Rov Yisrael Yisrael Machzah Machzah Yisrael Va Amar Rav Lo Shinu Elach Yato Aval Yuchsin Lo Shmuel Amar Lefakech Alav Etagal. So that's the where our case comes up. That we saw earlier, this Rav case, but he's in the context of this point that's saying that do we require 1 rov or 2 rovs, and that's the context of that Gemara. So what we mean when we say yuchsin, when the Gemara says val yuchsin lo, so what did Rav mean by saying that? So here's Rashi in source number 9, val yuchsin lo, Deim bat hi asira la kohen. What it means that for not you need more for yuchsin is when it comes to like you have a girl here. Im bat hi asira la kohen. Fafiu leka lemechash mishum asufi. Even if you don't have to be concerned about an asufi situation, and Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Kiddushin where it says all different scenarios where if you find a child, you don't have to be concerned that it was just rejected and abandoned. But in all those cases, he says, even if you don't have to be concerned about that, he says, Asura le Kohen, detre rubi be'inan le'yuchsin. She's going to be prohibited to a Kohen because we need two roves when it comes to yuchsin, which sounds like what Rashi is saying, is that when we say, when Rav says we need two roves for yuchsin, he's meaning specifically when it comes to granting yuchsin so to permit marriage to Kohen, to give her that status of being mutar le'kahuna. The Rambam, in source number 10, clearly does not read it that way when he discusses this in Isurei Bia. Ha-sufi shenimtza be'ir sheyesh ba goyim, bein haya rov goyim, o rov Yisrael, harei ze safik goy li'inyan yuchsin. Kide shisha tzricha get misafik misha hargo, eno nehrag alav. But the point is that harei ze safik goy li'inyan yichusin. Yichus for him would mean to give him the status of a Jew. That's what yuchsin mean. Yuchsin would be, and the Shulchan Aruch says likewise in source number 11. Asufi shenimtza be'ir shesh ba kutim v'Yisrael ben shehu rov kutim o rov Yisrael hareze safik kuti l'inyan yuchsin. Again, because we're going to require two roves, not just one rove, but two roves when it comes to yuchsin. And what does yuchsin mean? Yuchsin means, according to the Rambam, according to Shulchan Aruch, yuchsin means to give them status as a full fledged Jew. According to Rashi, it would seem that it's not status as a Jew, but it's permission to marry into the kahuna. That's the way people point out this machlok at Rashi and the Rambam. Which leads, as all of background, to this fascinating, also tragic shaila, in source number 12, Kovetz Tshuvot. This is a correspondence, essentially, correspondence. I mean, Kovetz Tshuvot is responsa of Rav Elyashiv, but this specific siman, Kuf Lamed Aleph, in Evan Ezer, in Chelek Aleph of Kovetz Tshuvot, is a question of the stipler, Harav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, asking the following question to Rav Elyashiv. I'm going to embarrass myself. They're like contemporaries.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he passed away 11 years ago.
Right. No. So I'm saying it's interesting. They're contemporaries, but Stipler is still sending this question and wanting to discuss this out with Rav Elyashiv. So here's the beginning of the tshuva has all this very beautiful flowery language, and even the tshuva itself ellipses is out of some of that, and then gets v'kaet al shel atabati shenishalti hayom b'devar she'achar hamilchama nasu askanim lepolin lelaket yeladim shneizvu beveit nochrim bizman hagzera rachman litzlan. So there was a coming to Poland to retrieve all these Jewish children who were hidden away in Christian homes. V'nochrit achat amra al yalda achat sheyehudi ploni hifkida etzla leman hatzila kayedua umasra hayalda lahem yivuval eretz Yisrael v'nitchancha b'mosad dati v'hamechanechet nidvada davar ze v'lo yidala klu machmat chesro nidia v'keet noda davar ze lebaala talmid chacham uval yishol im hi b'chezkat Yisrael o detricha gerut v'ashara She'im ne'mar la detzricha gerut tit behel v'titzter. So you have this child who was given over, brought to Israel, raised as a Jew, raised as a frum Jew, got married to a talmid chacham, never knew that she was actually her parents perished in the Holocaust, but she didn't know that there was really any question about it. But it seems the only identity that we had that this girl was actually Jewish was because the non-Jewish adopted parent said, it was a Jewish man who gave her to me, and now I'm returning here, and you can take her back to Israel to be with her people. Something along those lines is what she must have said. She's raised as an Orthodox Jew, and now her husband finds out this background, and he says if she has to convert now, if there's any question about her lineage as a Jew, it's going to just be a very terrible experience for her. So what's the halacha?
And this is the husband of the teacher.
Leba'ala, Devar Zet, Leba'ala? Talmid Chacham, Ba'ala of the teacher, you think?
I think so.
Why would he care?
Because he
was
within the Ba'ala. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Because I think she's still a child.
Could be. Okay. Interesting. I'm trying to think if there's anything that indicates otherwise in the response.
How did the husband of the girl find out?
Right?
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right, you're right. How would it play out?
I thought, like, Rabbi, but now you're saying, Ka'id no dada bar zalbala. It's like, what is that?
So the husband is now married to this Suffolk Jew, and he's asking which of the Jew.
I'm not sure.
It's interesting. That's not at all how I read it initially, but I hear what you're saying.
No, there's enough coming if the girl cut on or not.
Yeah. I don't know how old she is.
Right.
She could be about this.
Nidchancha b'mosad dati. How old? What does it mean to you, mosad dati? Is that any connotation of age?
I don't care about the teacher. I mean, who needs her?
Yeah.
Right? So I think that the husband of the teacher.
Okay. Yes, she's with her husband and have this child, this student. Yeah. Oh, whoa.
And they were talking about her. Yeah.
They didn't read the sign in the Or Chaim faculty lounge, which says keep classroom feedback in the classroom. Stop. Okay. Okay. So this was the question that he was that was addressed to him. Vina lismochal ze shenoheget bihadut gadam rinan mi lo tavla. No, she was married. You're right. Okay, fine. We could just say, I mean, you could tell her, you're going to go to the mikvah, and by the way, the practices that you accept upon yourself, all the...
Okay,
fine.
She has to do it in front of a
basin. Right. Okay. Okay, fine. Okay, it's okay. I hear what you're saying now. I hear what you're saying now that she wasn't. This is the husband of the teacher. Okay, okay. Okay, so you can't rely on that. That maybe when she gets married, she'll go to the mikvah because it's still not going to have Kabbalah HaMitzvot. And that's Me'akev. Lismocha ha'gadat ha'nochrit afilu im yitbarer shaya mesiach levitumo habde'oraita lo samchinan ha'mesiach levitumo v'nimtza lichora de'dina kedina sufi b'makom sh'rov nochrim. He says that maybe you want to say, so his thought was, can we rely, maybe we'll say that the adopted mother was not like, she was just Mesiach Levituma talking about where this child came from. So maybe is there anything to rely on upon that, but we don't allow Mesiach Levituma. It doesn't have force for De'oraita, and here we're talking about.
I mean, it is at most Mesiach Levituma.
At most, right. But even if it was Mesiach Levituma, that still wouldn't be enough to cross the threshold. So, v'nimtza lichor de dina kedina sufi makom sherov nochrim. So it's a long response, but this is parts of Rav El Yashiv's response here in source number 13. V'ne ledat Rashi k'tubot tetvav amud bet de pirish malat yuchsinhu liinyan kihuna shekatav aval yuchsin lo dim bat hi yasra lekohen. Aval ledat haRambam, v'chen perish b'shulchan aruch, siman dalet, de'afilu b'rov Yisrael ha'asufi shenimtza ba'inan shrei ruba, le'inyan shehe rashai l'hit chanen im Yisrael. What'd I say? Ah, yeah, l'hit chaten im Yisrael, gam she'ein bo din ha'asufi, ela chashinan shemenoch rehu. So he lays out, he says, this is Rashi's position, that Rashi would... presumably, you only need two roves to a permit or to a Kohen, but if it's permitted to Yisrael, one rove should be enough. But you have the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in the way at all, and you would still need two roves, Lin Shei Rashai Lit Chaten Im Yisrael. Gam She'ein Din Asufi, Ela Chashin and Shemenoch Riyu. So he says that we do have this problem, but he brings a couple different positions to try to make this work. One of the positions that he brings is the Noda Behudin. It's still a rove nochri, right? So he's gonna get there later, but if we could say what he's going to try to do is say that the rove of the children that are mushlachim in this time were Jews.
That's also questionable. I mean, I assume there were many refugees in other countries, but
rove of the children who were abandoned somewhere were going to be Jews. That's the mechanics that he's gonna work with. That you see that later on in source number 17. But it's a fair point to say you don't get anywhere even if you say Rashi unless you say but we somehow concoct this to be a Rov Yisrael situation. But he's starting with the idea of trying to find that all we need is one rove, and then showing how this is that one rove. So one of the proofs that he brings is the Noda Bihud in source number 14, and the Shev Shmeitz in source number 15. So source number 14 was a really long tshuva. I would have loved to have brought the whole thing, but I also didn't have the time to learn the whole thing. But this is the question. Pnuya she'ibra v'yalda v'lo nivdika miminit abra kilo ayta be'ir v'havlad nitgadel v'en kach meta ha'em madino shalavlad hazeh lavo b'kahal imu shtuki upasulolo. She doesn't know, we don't know the paternity of this child. And in his response,
yeah. What does that mean?
What do you mean? She wasn't.
She doesn't know from who she got.
She came back to town and she's 5 months pregnant. Now what are you going to do? How are you going to find out?
That's Pshat. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You can't ask her, or you can't get any info because she's no longer living. So we just have this child of unknown paternity.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So in his response, he says, "Va'afte amrinan b'ktubot tet vav t'binan shrei rubi liyuchsin." So even though we did require that, nearly finu da'ati da'haini liyuchsin t'kuna, aval liyuchsin d'Yisrael sagi b'chad ruba v'chen mukach mitvei Rashi b'ktubot sham tet vav amid bet b'tibur marcha aval liyuchsin lo din bat hi asra l'kohen afilu leik alamechash lesuf v'chulei. But he wants to bring this Rashi as being reason to say that maybe you only require one rove of Yisrael the two trei rube requirement is specifically for kahuna, not for status as a Jew. And so Rav Yashiv does bring this Noda Bihuda as being at least of the opinion that we may actually paskin like Rashi. The Shev Shmeitzah doesn't like that idea. He also quotes the Shev Shmeitzah, but he concludes like this. V'od nira dekevan de binidona sheila shekatav enodi bihuda diyatsa kama michsholim mize imbanu lifsol havlada ayin sham ukvar katavnu de bishat hadchak kedaihu Rashi val hamaor. I couldn't find where this val maor was, but kedaihu a Rashi val hamaor lahachshir bechad rov. Even if you're going to hold like the positions, like, I guess like the Rambam, like Shulchan Aruch, that you would require two roves to establish a person as Jewish, that which requires two roves, He says, look, putting aside the Noda Bihuda, I guess, because he says it causes more problems, but he says, look, we can rely, Bishad Hadchak, Tuva, we can rely on the position of Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel to permit in one robe. Also add to the fact that you also have another Rishon, you have Rabbeinu Hananel, who's brought in Tosfot, who also says the same thing, that you can rely on one robe to determine, to permit to be Jewish. That's source number 16. This is that Tosfot. It's a longer Tosfot, but just to the point that he comes to, I guess in the Perish Bekuntris, Rav Chanan Lomani Bekorono Shatzipora Hayamasa Velo Hava Elachad Ruba Lepirisho Lo Pligi Literot Kuleyama Bin and Trey Rube Lo Pligi Elab Masa Echi Hava Rin Chanan El here to Perish to Rav Chanan Lomati Avala Yuchsin Lo Visagi Lidide Lidorot Bechad Ruba. He's the way he's understanding the Gemara, Rav Chanan, I think we had him in source number. Source number 8, Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar Rav, Horat Shah Haita, that the Horat Shah for him was two, and Lidorot Bechad Ruba, the way he understands the Gemara is that Lidorot Bechad Ruba, for all you really ever need is one rove. So the Shev Shmeitza was willing to say, based on the Rashi, and I guess the Baal Maor, and even the position of the Rebbeinu Chananel, who says that you always only need one rove, Lidorot, we have one rove, and that's enough. And that the Rav Eliashiv quotes all of these, and says in source number 17, Venira de be'emet ha'achra'a b'sheila zo lo yachria rak mikresh anu danin alea ki hare zen nogea l'kama v'kama asrot shnesfu me'arei hagoyim mehen yoshvot levetach tachet baleihen u'mehem yesh leniach shehem nesuot gam l'konim ve'en l'cha'ashad hadchak gadol mizeh.
Wait, so someone is even making make him shatchaka osefer kohanim?
He doesn't have a choice.
They're already married.
So do we say that also one rub is enough with the eved? I mean, even Rashi, who's the most makel here, so he is makel with for kohanim two rubs. Also, they're married. I mean.
He's gonna. I think he's going based on the Shev Shmaitza, who says that we're talking about
Shev Shmaitza is discussing only
to be a Jewish.
To be Jewish,
right? But I think the fact that he's Elam Shum Ma'ala Ba'alma, like we're. I don't know. Actually, never mind. Not what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Okay.
He Ein Lecha Shadchak Gadol Mizeh. We can say that she's. And he, to go to the point that Rabbi Yehuda was saying, this is the second, this left-hand column on source number 17, he says, Sherov ha-mashlichin uvdahu sh'yisraelim, v'yesh lech lecha rov sh'ha-yalda hazod yisraeliti. Since, he says, since rov of the children who were sent away anywhere, that were adopted by parents, he says, we have to say, it's a rove, and so you have this rove, and so he builds, essentially, on the basis of the Shev Shmaitza, we can rely on the Rashi, to say that in a Shad Tchak situation like this, we can rely on her and allow her to stay married.
Also,
yeah?
I don't know if you mentioned that, because I haven't seen the entire Tshuva when we learned, but it's a very non-Christian thing to go to the Jew and tell him, oh, she's Jewish if she's not Jewish.
Right, that's part of what the Stipler says in his question is like, we should believe her because who in their right mind? Who in their right mind? He says, let's forget it. He says, not even a Christian. He says, who would take a child that's actually theirs, go to a stranger and say, take this child, raise this child in your faith?
Maybe she got confused. She knows there is a Jewish baby. She thought it is her. Maybe that's a different
girl. Or it was a non-Jewish baby that she took care of. And that word's over. She can't sustain this child. She knows that the rabbis are coming around.
Right. So this idea. Right. This thought is maybe that maybe she's like trying to get in good graces or something. But that's why he says we can follow the rove of the mashlichin.
In general, I can say just a little bit off topic because Pilar took a course when she was a guide in Yad Vashem exactly about this, which she taught also in elementary school about Shoah, that the idea of Christians hiding Jews or moms hiding Jews in their
monastery,
and so on. The idea is that if they go out and bring the baby back to the Jews, that's totally against what they themselves believe.
It's reverse of what they used to do.
What?
It's the opposite of what they
used to do. Exactly, the opposite of what they're supposed to do. So, and also we know, based on different stories of babies and so on, that every time that happened, like, we know the baby probably is Jewish. Like, it's really going to be very weird if this baby is not Jewish.
Right.
Also, based on stories we know from boys, that this happened. It's easier for a boy to know he is Jewish among the other boys in such a place than girls. So maybe you should also say, I don't know, most of the boys that were released from such a thing, we know that were Jewish, maybe that is enough also to rely on girls and to say that also this girl is probably Jewish.
There you go.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, but yeah. It's something we know that there were Jews. Like, we don't know if mistakes.
But there were, happened. I would assume, also non-Jews.
That also
right.
were non-Jews.
So, Rova Mashlichin. Rova Mashlichin, are you Israeli?
No, in Achina, I'm just saying that.
They're not Muslims.
Now that you have a girl, knowing that I can check the boys, can help you with the
But
girl.
The question is Jewish or Christian, right? There were not so many options also to be the guy. Yeah, so.
It's Kavua, it's Mechta, Mechta. Which actually.
I think that's his.
That's line. Right, that's actually his last. That's his last line that he points out here, which. Now looking at the clock, maybe I would have had time to put it in here, but yesh levarer be'eza ofen matzu et hayalda. The Tosfot Ketuvot Tedvav Amud Aleph Katav v'chen gabei tinok mishlach b'ir lo chashiv kavua ha'il v'lo nimtza b'bayit. If you remember from last week, we taught Tosfot had pointed out that kavua would mean in the home. Anywhere outside of the home is not kavua. But this was subject to a little bit of a discussion. But so he's saying that since this child was not found in the house. A child not found at the house is not kavua. I don't know if this delegation walks into this woman, this non-Jewish woman's house, and they're like, walks into the monastery and says, we're looking for any Jewish children, and she says, oh, this child right here. I think what he's alluding to, the fact is that there may be what to talk about to say, if it's in the house, that may be actually kavua and mechza al mechza. He doesn't really address it. He says yesh ladun vaze. No, but any time if we find...
There's only one kid in this house. Or, how many kids do you have and you know what they are? That
no, it's kids in houses.
Yeah, well, the,
kids, isn't it kids in houses?
That's not what I'm saying. In other words, the whole principle of kavua or porage, whatever, requires that you have a population, you know there's a certain percentage, and now my question is, do I treat this kid as part of the rove or part of the 50? I don't know anything about the kids in this house.
But is it about the kids in this house?
The dry definition of kavua is... Is it moving or is it not moving? I think you said
yes. No, but what's
move the herd, move it around, and in order to apply poposh. Now it's a kavua situation.
What I'm saying is that this is
the svaros this doesn't apply.
But this is a suffix without numbers, is what I'm trying to say. It's not, when we talk about there are teisha chanuyos that are selling basar shluta and one that's selling trefa or whatever it is. I know that there are a certain number of stores and there are a certain percentage that are this and this. I need to know, is this piece of meat from this one or from that one? This kid is just a Safek kid. We don't have a population that we're...
So
we
that's even more of a reason to be kavua. Because the question of this kid is...
It's not about kavua. It's about Safek Daraisa. That's all.
Or we're asking, what is the status of this child?
But that's the sort of kavua, as we said last week. We're not now taking this question in the world about population.
This is it Jewish or not
Jewish? Jewish or not Jewish? So it's a Safek in the Chinas.
We're saying rub people who are left, rub kids who are abandoned, who are Jews. So he was parish from that rub. That rub wasn't in the house. So he was a close parish. In other words, he was parish from the rub of Jews and ended up in this house. Usually when you say, you were saying you're talking about the population, but here the population is not the population of the house. We're dealing with
the suffix that we're not dealing with. This baby that was found,
right.
What is his status? This baby in this house?
Right. But I think this baby that was found, where did he come from? He was parish from where he came from.
Right, but that's
a parish that currently is kavua.
Well,
how did he have that?
Well, I mean that would be, that's already last week we talked about that. But they're not though. That was the whole that was Tosfo, right? If he's not in his house and he's out at the well, he has the status of parush. He goes home, now he's kavua again.
It's almost like finding a piece of meat on the street. Right now it's sitting on the street, but it was parish from there. Here
right.
You're finding the kid sitting in the house, but he was parish from
right.
A rug.
We don't say that the meat found on the street is now kavua in the street.
If you find that meat in a store, does that not change
in
it?
Store.
So
there's no mixture in this house.
I'm saying the case of the store, the store was part of a population of kavua stores. There were 10 kavua stores, right? And this particular store, we say kofkevi metzal metzal dami. But in the case of the meat was already, even though the meat's physically not moving right now, it came from somewhere else, right?
Okay.
So here too, I would think you would say that even though right now it's in the house, it came from somewhere else. The rub from which it came from is not in the bite. It's from the Jewish community that it came from. Or the Jewish communities of the world.
So you're saying that even if he is kavua, we should apply here rub.
Right, I don't think it's considered kavua here. I think
it's not all kavua.
I don't think it's considered kavua here because it was the rub, the population we're dealing with, is not kavua. It came from somewhere else.
I'm just not sure that...
The meat could have come from, you know, a number of different stores. This kid could have come from...
Can I just respond to the... Tosfot last week said, if the woman goes into his house, he never left, he's in his house. She goes into his house, Tosfot says, that's a mechza al mechza, because he's kavua, he's in his house. If he walked out of his house and slept with her outside of his house, they did it in the middle of the street, he's not in his house anymore, he says, that's already parish enough. It's not, he's not kavua anymore.
Right.
Meaning,
it's very dry in his status.
If
where is
he
here? House, kavua.
You had an assembly here. Okay, and you had 100 kids in here, and 95 of them were Yisraelim, and 5 of them were Kohanim. Okay, kid walks out of the Beis Medrash and goes into a classroom where he's sitting alone. Is he now Poresh from the 100, or do you say, well, he's sitting in a classroom and now he's somehow kavua?
No, so I think I think I yeah, it's a good. I, I, I think we have to figure out, and we still have to define, because we didn't really define at what point something becomes kavua. Right? Tosfot had said, when he's out and about, he's not kavua. Oh, but since he's going to go home, he's going to be kavua. As opposed to birds, which never fly home. So like, that means that Tosfot said, if a bird lands on this branch over here, it's not kavua. But if it went back to his nest, it would be, I don't know. I think we do have to define that.
Kavua is when it's found in a new mixture in one place. But, and now it's kavua in that.
There's no mixtures.
There's something which is actually detached from it, and now
No, I don't know. Kavua. I don't think there.
Actually, there are also mixtures, but not necessarily.
But the case you just mentioned before, if there was a rub and he came to her house and he had deal with her at her house, we wouldn't say kavua kmesa matzah dami.
We wouldn't. He was Poresh.
Right, but even though he's now physically in the house, we don't say, oh, now that he's in her house, we don't say, therefore it's Kavua, just because he's in her house. He was Poresh from a rub, and now it happens to be in her house. We still don't say Kavua.
Right, so I think...
He's in her house, right? I'm saying...
What does he say to Tosfos?
Tosfos says if he leaves his house...
The house of the woman.
I don't think he talks about it. I think he would say that's Parush. As long as he leaves his house... Tosfos says as long as he leaves his house... He based it on Rashi's language also. As long as he leaves his house, he's Parush. If she goes to his house, he's Kavua. So I think part of it has to be defining, which we didn't do.
His group, which where there was a rub, and now is in a house. In either case, do we say it's called the kavua matzah dami?
But it's neither.
I'm saying in the same way.
If you're right, I think the suffix still is. Once this woman opens her mouth, saying this child isn't mine,
right,
and the thing belongs to you, right. Meaning the suffix starts only in her house. So now you have a suffix here. Mm-hmm. So like if it was indeed an adopted child, we know that for
right. Sure. Right.
Then I have a question: is this a child or not?
Right.
So the Negus, I would agree. That maybe the subject where he started, we know for sure she found the child outside. Uh-huh. But now the story starts in her house. Uh-huh. She's not telling us we have a question about it until there's no suffering. So something doesn't rise in her house, I think
so. We saw that last week. Who is it who said specifically, was that Dr. Koppel's? He says the question is where the suffix actually arrives. Where is the suffix created? Is the suffix created in a place?
I think he says that it ultimately boils down to where did the suffix?
I think that was maybe it was Rav Nabinovich. Maybe I'm just making it up entirely. But I think we actually raised that exact point.
Where the suffix is. So I think where the suffix is.
Yeah. Meaning you find meat in the street, the suffix arrived here. You bought the meat in the store. You don't know which store it was, but the suffix began in the store.
In the kavua place.
Right, because then there's a later machlok, which we didn't talk about at all last week, but I saw it when preparing. But there's a later discussion about, let's say you forgot where you got it from, or I know where I got it from and I gave it to you, and now you don't know where it came from. I bought it from a kavua place, but you don't know. Is that the same as nimtza? Because now for you the suffix arrives here. I think we might even alluded to that last week. I don't remember, but okay. There's what to discuss in this last piece. I do think that what he's bringing up, be'ofen motzo shel hayalda, I do think he's bringing up maybe this would be a kavua situation where you wouldn't say holchin achar rov, you'd say mechza mechza. He doesn't go into it. Yesh ladun bazeh, where, I don't know, when, who knows, but he does think that there's what to talk about it. Maybe what to talk about is saying there's nothing to talk about, but he does bring it up at the very last line. That's that. Just a final piece. The Chashuke Chemed, also in the family.
Yeah.
So he has another question, and he ultimately brings this entire Kovetz Chuvot outside. But the question that he's facing in source number 18, Sheila Bachad Haaretzot, Gadla Naram Mishpacha Notzrit, Kshiyagia Lagil Esrim Gilta La Hamishpacha Shebeetzem Hi Meumetzet, she grows up as Christina Christensen, and then she discovers that her parents were, Avram and Sarah. she doesn't know anything. She just finds that bad. So halcha hanara halcha lemisrad panim shalotam medina uviksha livdok mihem horea umatzah shechenem yehudim achem kvar nivtaru lebeit olamam lifnei zman rav vein derech la'alot al ikvoteihem v'ke'et rotzeh hanara linaseh liyehudi. All she has is what her adopted parents said and what the government record says. So the question is, Aim nitan lismocha al mirshama imutzim shalom emshala kedei latir la linaseh liyehudi o lo. The question is, can we rely on the government record in order to permit her?
I'm certain that there's an explicit piece of truth about it that says that you do.
What's the other main idea?
No, because it's edus of a non-Jew. It's edus of a non-Jew, so you can't rely on it.
No, it's what Pnim of that Medina.
Of that Medina. It's not Israel.
It's not Israel.
Yeah.
Is that
I mean, it's looking at a U.S. census record and seeing that the family spoke Yiddish and say, okay, so who else speaks Yiddish in 1900 in New York City? So the bulk of what he says, Me'ata yesh ladun ha'im efshar lismoch al rishum shel misrad ha'panim b'tarat edut. It goes in a...
I trust it more than I trust the Israeli system. Well, really? It didn't answer the question. Depends what country.
So he has a whole discussion back and forth, which I thought was less interesting, because ultimately for this, because it wasn't as relevant, because that's the whole question of can we rely on some government record for that. But he quotes this whole position, this whole piece in full, or outside, of his father-in-law, and then his, what would Rav Kanievsky be to him? Brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Ah, fine. Yeah, fine. Yeah. So he brings this. Vine kol divrei mori chami shlita amrim biglal shaya rov mashlichin l'Israel bizman hahu aval b'sheilatenu harishina lo haya rov Yisrael yev shar haya klal lista mechal tzadim elu el rak al harishim v'mishalati vein b'kocha lahatir. So he says, but by the way, he says this whole case, as Rav Yashiv said, and specifically, like, it's only in a case where you have this situation where there's the girl and there's the rove that you can play, you can apply any of the Shev Shmaitza in the case of Shad Tzach, you need to rely on one of the roves. But he says in this case you don't have any of that. So he says the only thing you have to rely on is the Rishuma Memshalti, and Rav Zilberstein thinks, you can read his piece, it's not so long, but he said he ultimately concludes that he doesn't think that you can rely on the Misrad HaPanim B'Torat Edut. And so he says you don't have the Rav Yashiv's whole piece to rely upon, because that's only in a situation where you still had Rov Yisrael to deal with, and you don't have that here. And so all you have is the Rishuma Mishalati, and he thinks in B'kochal Lahatir, and so he ultimately concludes that she cannot, on the basis of the legal record, but I guess Piskei Tshuva, perhaps this is a Machloket Achronim. It's not a Machloket Achronim. It's a Mefurish. Okay, so there's what to see about that. But so that's this piece about Yuchsin. Ultimately, there's a question, just to recap that, when the Gemara requires two roves, when Rav requires two roves for Yuchsin, like the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean two roves for Yuchsin to allow her to marry a Kohen, or is it two roves to allow her to have the status of a Jew? The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch seem to go explicitly like the latter opinion, that you need two robes to establish as a Jew. This case of this child from a Holocaust survivor, who has a rove in her favor that most of the children who are adopted at this point were Jews, but there's nothing beyond that one rove in her favor. And Rabbi Yashiv had said, based on the Shev Shmaitza, no to be Yehuda, there's what to rely upon to say that in this situation, in a major Shad Chak, we can rely on one rove to permit her to marry. Okay. And he says, and that's the basis of the fact that rove hamashlichin, most, the majority of children at this time, were going to be Yisraelim, and so you can rely on that one rove to give her the status of a Jew. And that would be what Yuchsin means. And when it comes to relying on the legal record that Rav Zilberstein said you can't rely upon,
Piskei Tshuva says in Sifkot Gimel in Siman Yud Zayin that you can rely on records, that is in the case of a gunos, in terms of if someone's alive or not. And that gets the thing Sifkot Tshuva is a thing.
Exactly.
You go up from Sifkot Tshuva. So that's why I'm wrong.
Silverstein. I didn't hear it.
Silverstein. 100%.
You can return the recorder back on now.
yeah, and then and recapping also, we started with Hachiyoto. The Hachiyoto doesn't mean what you might have thought it means, that it means to keep them alive. If there's a question about keeping someone alive, even for the mute, you're definitely going to keep them alive, and Lahachiyoto would mean specifically Leparnaso, to support them with charity money that you'd have an obligation as if they were a Jew themselves. And that is now bringing us to the end of Ketubot Daf Tet Vav Amabet. Next week, God willing.
Next week, God willing, we're going to start the new parak. The opening of the parak is Migo and